I don't show it a lot, but I get down. First Kings, chapter 18. And it was many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I shall send rain upon the earth." And Ahab went to, and Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Sometimes you we're called to do things that we don't necessarily like, and that's a lead into today's opening comment. There was a lady in a church. Name was Mildred. I picked Mildred because there's no Mildreds here. There's no church gossips either. But she happened to be the church gossip and self-appointed arbiter of all of the church's morals. She kept sticking her nose in other people's business and other members' private lives. And they didn't appreciate it, but yet they, for some reason, feared her enough to maintain their silence. But she made a mistake. She accused George, who was a new member of the church, about being an alcoholic since she saw his pickup truck parked in front of a bar one afternoon. And she commented to it. She said something to George about it, and every other person that was there let them know what he was doing. George was a man of few words. Those are the best. He stared at her for a moment, just walked away. Didn't explain himself, didn't defend himself, didn't deny it, didn't say anything. But later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night. That went over better than the Midwest City little boy joke last night. Last week I mentioned that Ahab was absolutely the worst king that Israel had ever seen. And 1 Kings 16 said, "And Ahab did more to provoke God than any king before him." You ever known anyone to provoke God? This guy seemed to do it intentionally. I don't think he really cared a whole lot. But if you're married to Jezebel, who pretty much dictates your life, how are you going to get around it? And I wish, when you look at things, that maybe Ahab would have had the courage to stand up and say, "Hey, wait a minute, Jezebel. I run this kingdom, not you." But that never happened. And I realized, I woke up Thursday morning, Wednesday morning, I guess it was. Elijah was a prophet we talked about last week. And one of the things that I remember out of that passage of Scripture, and you will too, was when the lady said, the mother of this young boy said, "I'm out picking up a few sticks." Actually, it was two sticks. "And I'm going to take what little wheat we have left and what little oil we have left. I'm going to make bread. We're going to eat that, and what'd she say? And we're going to surely die." Elijah was a prophet. But you know what this woman was doing when she said that? She was prophesying. Because what prophecy is a current word today about a future event. And so that's what she was doing. And so I thought about that this morning, or Wednesday morning, and I'm thinking, where was Ahab and his backbone? I think I've mentioned this before, but I love Dave Ramsey. I'm a huge Dave Ramsey fan. And some lady called in one day about something, and I may have told you the story, but Dave told the lady, said, "You need to tell whomever it was that they need to go down to Walmart." And by the way, he hates Walmart. But because he's always talking about, don't walk around Walmart if you don't have any money, because you want to charge something. And his whole philosophy is don't charge anything. But he said, go in the front door, go down to the third aisle, turn right, go down about a half aisle, and you'll find a backbone. Tell him to buy the backbone. And that's what Ahab really needed. And he finally found something when he ran into a guy by the name of Elijah. Elijah, he was an interesting character we talked about. And I know that there's been times in my life where I've missed it. There's been times in my life that I should have done something that I didn't do. There's been times that I should have talked to someone that I didn't. I probably should have been more gracious to them than what I was. And boy, did I get kicked somewhere. Spiritually, a kick in the seat of your pants is pretty painful. Because you may not be able to recapture that opportunity again. And that may be a lost opportunity. And if that conscience of yours or that inward voice is speaking, which I really believe exists, and God says, go, go. And so anyway, he says to Elijah, as I read, he says, go see Ahab. It's a very simple message, but it could have brought some serious consequences had Elijah not done it. And as you read in there, and I mentioned earlier that he was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel, and Jezebel had cut off all of the prophets of the Lord. She had pretty much ended anything and any type of religious teaching based on God that there was. And one of the things that I read this week, and it was interesting, it says an idolater, which Jezebel as well as Ahab was, were worshipers of Baal, but it said an idolater is a persecutor. So Jezebel was a persecutor, but you know what? She also made Ahab a persecutor because he didn't have the courage to stand up and say, whoa, wait a minute. This is just not right. So what happened when that did is God didn't just sit around and feel sorry for himself and say, oh no, what am I going to do now? But he raised up more prophets. And the good news is that if God directs us to do something, and this is not a cop-out, but if God directs us to do something and we don't do it, God will raise up someone else to do it for us. But you know what? When that happens, you know what we've done? We have missed a real blessing. We have missed a real opportunity to touch somebody's life and to really change them. And one of the things about these prophets that God lifted up was they didn't have the prophetic message that Elijah had. They were able to teach people the law. They were able to show them things. But they were never able to do that. But Jezebel wanted to cut off these. So there was another guy's name that pops up. A guy by the name of Obadiah. Obadiah was an interesting individual. Here's a man of courage. And what he did is he took these prophets that they have lifted up, these teachers, and hid them in two different caves, 50 in each cave. And he fed them with bread, and he fed them with water. Well, what's the point of that? The point is that God will take care of what he ordains. God will take care of this church because he's ordained it. God will take care of you because he's ordained it. Now, does that mean that I'm not going to have a trial or troubles or a tribulation come along or I'm not going to end up in a hospital? No. But that does mean that no matter what it is, God will carry us through. That's not the end of the road. And in some of our cases, it's only the beginning. I've had several people say, how'd you lose your weight? I tried to eat hospital food. But, you know, God does a lot of different things to show us what we need to do and how we need to go about it. And one of the things that I learned, and I shared this last week, but I thought it was worth sharing about, is when we cannot be useful, we must be patient. And for, I don't know what it was, 20 days or whatever it was in the hospital this summer on three different occasions, I didn't feel too useful. But you might as well be patient, because you're not going to do anything different. But I didn't miss the opportunity to talk to people, tell them what I did, tell them why I did it. What someone tries to take away from you, God will give you that opportunity. And the second thing is, we cannot work. When we cannot work, we must sit quietly for Him. What an opportunity to meditate. And a couple weeks ago, I tell you, He showed me, it was amazing, some of the things that I saw and some of the things that I gained better understanding of. So these people were forced to live in caves. They were cut off from anything that they wanted to do. But yet they were able to let their lives be fed through the teaching of one another, because they didn't sit around idly. And that's what we can't do. We can't sit around idly. You know, we have church on Sunday. We do the Bible study on Thursday night. And what we're doing is trying to equip people. And I don't know, you know, how often people have talked to me, and I've talked to them about this, the idea of Revelation and the second coming, and what's going to take place, and how's it going to happen. And so anyway, we're getting into that, and we're taking a look at that. But that's building up disciples, and that's teaching us how to fulfill our ministry. As I mentioned, Obadiah was an interesting character. He was a Christian, but he was in the world. And you couldn't have gotten any more in the world than what you could have done working for Ahab. But what this tells me is the fact that even though he was in the midst of the worship of Baal and the highest level of idolatry that there was, he could remain faithful. And so what that tells me, that if we work with a bunch of people that are not Christian, we can still maintain that relationship with Jesus Christ, because God didn't call us to get out of the world. He called us to go to the world, as Jim read. And that's what the expectation was. And I often wonder why some people succeed and some people fail. I think Obadiah probably succeeded because Ahab finally found somebody maybe he could trust. He had a high level of trust in him. That's what an employer would expect of us, and that's what God would have expected of us, is a high level of trust, of someone that is honest, someone that's industrious, not got your desk cleaned off at 4:15 to go home at 4:30. And it was, Cindy and I, when we were in California, and we worked out there, and I tell you, the office closed, I think it was 4:45, 4:30. And there were people ready to go at 3:15 because they wanted to beat the traffic, to get caught in more traffic somewhere. I've often thought about Obadiah, and he hid these prophets, hid him from persecution. He fed him. He took care of him. But there are things that God led him to do, as God will lead us to do. Remember, Obadiah fed these guys, fed these prophets, and provided water for them. But what did Elijah? What did God tell Elijah? He said, "You go to Ahab, and I'll bring rain." There had been no rain for 3.5 years because of the famine. But he was going to bring rain. And God is faithful to what his word is. We fear God in reverence. But we need to go out of the world. We do not go out of the world because it's bad as it is. We stay in it. We fight the good fight. We continue to do what God has called us to do. So why was Ahab looking for Elijah? They had a famine. It had no rain. So what do you want him to do? Sometimes people come looking for us for something. I shared a note the other day. I think it was a message on Facebook with someone who had said that they had been, they had some physical issues. And so anyway, that what that says to me is we're coming to you. And so anyway, I responded back saying that let me know when I volunteered Greg, when Greg and I can come pray for you. I think Greg will let me do that. But that's what God wants us to do. Step out of our comfort zone. So why was he looking for him? I think that woman was possibly looking for some encouragement. And I understand that. Ahab could have killed Elijah. But he didn't. Obadiah was afraid that Ahab would kill him. Because Ahab had looked all over the country for Elijah and couldn't find him. And Elijah said, if you go to Ahab and tell him that I am in the country, I will see him today. That's a commitment made by Elijah to Obadiah, his friend. Because it also says that when Elijah came to see Obadiah, Obadiah fell down and worshiped Elijah. So he knew there was power that Elijah had. And Obadiah would have done anything in the world to get relieved of that responsibility of going to see Ahab. And we've run into times where we would do anything to be relieved of some responsibility. Right? Let somebody else do it. Somebody else can do it better than I can. Moses, I can't speak. He probably could just as well have said, I don't want to speak. Because he could. And so if you read in there, you'll see that the story of the sacrifice and everything that went on there with that. But what was so important is to me as I read this whole thing is that Ahab went looking. And let me encourage you to read this chapter today. Fine, don't read it in the King James. Unless that's all you got. But if you need something else, let me know. Because I got about 15 translations. But find one that's easy to read and read this chapter because you'll find out that it's a great story about the sacrifice that was made by Baal and the sacrifice that was made by Elijah. But one key word in there, in verse, it talks about, I think it's about verse 35, where it talks about, previous to that, it talks about Baal, God of Baal, laying out the wood, cut up, you know, animal on top of it. But when you get down to see what Ahab or what Elijah did, it says he laid the wood out in order. I thought about that. What are you saying? God, what do you mean by this? And what he meant by this was there is order in how I do things. If you read the passage, you'll find out that Elijah took 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel and built an altar because he wouldn't use an altar that was already used by Baal or by some other god, so he built his own. The Bible says he fitted an altar. So what's the result of this? The result of this is that Ahab had no idea what he's looking for. Living water was right within his grasp, and what was he looking for? Read it in there, he's looking for grass for the animals. Doesn't say anything about water. It said he was looking for grass. He had no idea what he was looking for. He had no idea where he was going. Totally, absolutely clueless. But the thing that come to mind, and it's amazing that how God can work in little things. And sometimes we stop, we're pretty little when you really think about this whole universe. But he sent his servant out 6 times and said, look for a cloud. Sometimes you ask. I'm sure about the 3rd time the servant was down to where you got to seek. You know, where's this at, Lord? Where's this at, Elijah? And the last time that he went out 6 times, the 7th time Elijah said, there's a cloud in the sky the size of what? Your hand. Now, I don't know if it's the size of my hand or maybe it might have been the size of Olivia's hand. I don't know. By the way, congratulations on your election. I don't know what size hand it was. All I know is it was probably the size of her hand. But that's what God does. He takes the little things and makes big things out of them. God sent Elijah to some places, as Jim read earlier. He'll send us to places that we're uncomfortable in. But if he sends us, he's right ahead of us, taking us along with him. And so that's what he expects. He expects us to be willing to go and to do. And I know that, you know, this the step into the water and, you know, and might be a little uncomfortable. But Elijah was stepping into the water when he went to when God told him, go. But he had the courage to do it. And sometimes it's we're in over our heads. But he's always there to keep us dry. And that's the great thing about it. God bless you.